Let us say a silent prayer. Amen. In Jesus' name, we will begin today's hymnal session. Let us all turn to hymn number 472, 472. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. It is something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind and sweet. For me. All our life was full of sin when Jesus found me. Oh, my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me. Then he led me in the way I ought to go. So kind and sweet. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Let us turn to the next hymn, hymn number 473. Last answer. Thank you.
Let us turn to the next hymn, hymn 474. Hymn 474. Last stanza. Let us sing the last hymn, hymn number 501, 501.
To feel the cross that Jesus.
our hymnal session ends here, let us prepare our heart for service. Amen.
Let's have a silent prayer. We prepare our hearts for today's service. Amen. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we begin our service. Let us arise to sing hymn number 122. Hymn number 122. We will now have our prayer. In our prayer, we give thanks to Lord Jesus Christ that we are able to gather together for this service. We pray to Lord Jesus Christ to guide us in our service. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we kneel down and pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Thanks to the grace of Lord Jesus Christ that we have the grace of Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh,
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Today, we'd like to continue to study concerning the characters in Philippi. Today, we talk about a few characters that Paul brought up in his letter to Philippi. We see Philippians. Chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Here it says, I entreat you, dear, and entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companions, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Here it talks about three groups of people. First is Eudia and Syntyche. Then there is you, my true companions. And then there is Clement and my fellow workers. In verse 3, it says, all these three categories of people have their name written in the book of life. We can say these three categories of people represent three types of personalities. All of them have the grace of the Lord God. It also represents that in the midst of the church today, we may have different people with different personalities, but all have the grace of God. We must learn from the recordings of these three characters in the book of Philippians. The first group is Eudia and Syntyche. Paul briefly mentioned about them in this letter to the Philippians. From this brief recording, we can relate to this predicament in the church over here. Paul merely encouraged these two Philippian women to come to a mutual understanding. It points to us that there is a disagreement among themselves. No matter how sincere we are in worshiping the Lord God, or even in serving the Lord God, or there are sometimes conflict that may arise among us. This Judea and Syntyche, they are obviously at odds with one another. There can be many reasons why they are not able to agree with one another. Perhaps there was a misunderstanding among themselves. Perhaps they wanted to do things in their own different way, and they insisted on that. Or maybe it is their words that hurt one another. Or maybe it is even not their fault. It is somebody else's fault, and they have taken sides. Whatever their differences may be, they are people who love the Lord God. Or they are the people who have labored together with Paul in the divine book. But unfortunately, they are not able to agree with one another. Paul might have encouraged them to work together in peace, but it did not work out until now. And this situation is not healthier for themselves, for the work of God, and to the church. If it is allowed to drag on, it may even cause greater problems in the church. Okay, it reminds us that although we are people who love the Lord God, sometimes there can also be conflict among ourselves. In the Bible, there's recordings about two sisters, Mary and Martha. They love the Lord God. There are people who wanted to receive our Lord Jesus Christ to their house. But when one is too busy serving, and the other sat listening to the encouragement from our Lord Jesus Christ, there was also imbalance. Or they begin to complain. There is also the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. When the mother of James and John requested that her two sons may sit on the left and right of Jesus in the kingdom, it also stirred up dissatisfaction among the other disciples. When this dissatisfaction arises, we cannot leave things as it is. That's why when Paul wrote this letter to the church in Philippi, he especially mentioned of these two women, Judea and Syntyche, and also to entreat them to agree in the Lord, so that they may be of the same mind, to be at peace with one another and not to contradict with one another. To live in harmony with one another. This is very important. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, it tells us, "So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and then remember that your brother has something against you." 24. "Leave your gift there before the altar and go first to reconcile to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." So here it tells us, when we are serving, there must be harmony between brothers and sisters. Do not, because of your eagerness in this service, cause disagreement with your brother. If there is a disagreement, you should go and reconcile with your brother before you come to offer this service to the Lord God. This is what we must be able to do. But how to reconcile? It is surely not easy to do. That's why Paul did not offer an easy solution to this. Resolving quarrels often takes a great effort and humility. We must come to an agreement with one another. Then only we are able to serve together. In Amos chapter 3 verse 3, it tells us, can two walk together unless they agree? When two persons is not able to agree, then it is not possible for them to walk together. Of course, they cannot walk together as well. Also, the first step we must do is to start to agree with one another, to pursue in this direction. When the Lord God brought us into one body, His intention is for us to be united in this body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So here it tells us that we must walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We are called to be one body in our Lord Jesus Christ. We must maintain this unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It also reflects to us that this unity may at some moment of time be at risk of failing. That's why here it encourages us to maintain this unity. It is something that we must continuously maintain this unity among us. To enter into the unity of one body in Christ is the work of the Lord God. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we are baptized into one body. We then enter into the unity of one body in Christ. However, to live in unity with one another needs effort on our part. We must have the desire to continue in this unity, and the eagerness to maintain this unity of the Spirit. Though differences may arise along the way, but because we are willing to work around it in order to pursue this unity of the Spirit, this must be in the heart of the believers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this effort to maintain this unity, in verse 2 here it tells us, this includes humility, gentleness, patience, and bearing with one another in love. These are the efforts that we must put in so that we are able to maintain the unity of the Spirit among ourselves. First, we talk about humility. It is the proud who brings contention with one another. Because they are arrogant, because they think that they are better than others, that's why they insist in their own ways. They are not able to accept the ways of other people. This is what caused disagreement and contention with one another. And we are encouraged that we must be humble. In Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4 tells us, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interest, but also on the interest of others. So here it tells us that we must not have selfish ambition, or we must give a thought or give a consideration that others may be better than ourselves. If we are humble in heart, then we will always give a thought to what others have to bring up. Maybe their opinion is reasonable. It is worthy of our consideration. We do not want to contend with them. Very often when things arise, it can be done in either way. Whether we do it this way or we do it in another way, it will also be able to obtain the same results. So in our humility, we can also adjust to or adapt to the matters, to the methods raised by other people. The Bible tells us that God rejects the proud but gives grace to the humble. So let us humble ourselves before the Lord God. This is what we must be able to do. The second thing, here it talks about gentleness. When a certain issue arises, we can either handle it with gentleness or we can do it in a harsh way. A gentle approach will initiate cooperation, but a harsh way will provoke others. The Bible tells us of an incident in First Kings chapter 12. First Kings chapter 12. It tells us that after Solomon died, his son Rehoboam is to be the king over Israel. Here it tells us that the people together with Jeroboam come before Rehoboam and tells him, because your father has made our yoke heavy, now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will continue to serve you. Rehoboam, he inquired from the older wise men and asked them what he must do. These older wise men also tells him to agree with what the Israelites have brought up, but to speak good words to them. And then they will continue to be your servants forever. But at the same time, he also consulted with the younger men. But they give a different advice to him. They tell him, you go and speak to these people. Here he tells us, you tell these people that my father has made your yoke heavier. I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. Rehoboam followed the advice from these younger people, and he spoke to them in such a way. But this Israelite soul and Jeroboam is not able to accept these harsh words from Rehoboam. And they left. Later on, they rebelled against him. And the kingdom of Israel is divided into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. So here it tells us, if we handle things in a harsh ways, the kingdom can also be divided. We must handle things in a gentle way. Like what the wise elderly people have advised Rehoboam. If he has spoken good words to them, then these people will continue to be his servants forever. They will not revolt against him. The third thing here it tells us that we must be patient. Patience is a spiritual virtue of a Christian. Because we trusted in the Lord God, we believe everything is in the hands of the Lord God. And everything will work out for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. When we have this trust in the Lord God, we will wait patiently. In Psalms chapter 130, Psalms chapter 130, verse 5, it tells us, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his words I hope. Well, these are the words of those who have faith in the Lord God. They will wait for the Lord God because they trust in the promises of the Lord God. Those who are not patient, they demonstrate a lack of trust in the promises of the Lord God. Or they want to take things in their own hands. And because they acted hastily, they will cause friction with other people. Then there will be no unity among one another. This is what we must not fall into. We must continue to trust in the Lord God. We know the Lord God is just. He will bless those who are willing to wait for Him. So this is what we must be able to do. To be patient at all times. To wait for the Lord God to act. And the fourth point here, it tells us to bear with one another in love. When we say that we are bearing with one another, it means that somebody else has wronged us. Or the fault is on the other party. But when another party is at fault, are we to deal harshly with him? Or are we to justify our actions to rebuke him? It is not to be so. Different people have different level of faith. When we say to bear with one another in love, it is for the stronger to bear with those who are weaker. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 15 verses 1 and 2 tells us, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. So here it tells us that it is the stronger who must bear with the failings of the weak. We must not please ourselves just because we are stronger. It is by the grace of the Lord God that we are stronger. So in our actions, we must be able to please those who are weaker. That's why Paul says that to the weak, I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that by all means, I might save some. This is what we must do. To the weak, we must also be able to understand these people who are weak. Not because Paul is weak, but for the sake of the gospel, he chose rather to be weak, to be able to understand that, to be able to be with them, so that in the end, he is able to save some of them. In the end, our actions is to save people, not to cause others people to fall. This is what we must have in our heart. The second group of people that Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, to you who are my true companions, help this woman who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together. These people are the true companions of Paul. They are the ones who have ministered together with Paul in the work of the gospel. In Philippi, Paul had many true companions. That's why from the beginning of the book of Philippi, of his letter to Philippi, he says that he is full of thanks to the Lord God when he thinks about this church in Philippi. Because of their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. From the first day that the gospel is preached to Philippi until now, the church in Philippi have been in partnership with him in the gospel work. They are his true companions in his divine work. Paul advised these companions of his to help the woman who have labored together with him in the gospel. We are not sure who Paul is referring to. Is it to these two women, Euodia and Syntyche? Or is it to all the other women in Philippi in general? But whatever it is for our study, we look into these two groups of women. First, we talk about these two women, Euodia and Syntyche. They are also companions who have labored together with Paul in the gospel. Unfortunately, among themselves, they are not able to agree. If Paul is referring to helping them so that they are able to walk together, then Paul encouraged his companions here in Philippi to be peacemakers. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 tells us, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." We must play the role of a peacemaker. When there is a conflict, we must not take sides and make the situation even worse. We must be able to bring these people who are at conflict together. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. Because he heard that the church there is quarreling among themselves. Some say that I belong to Paul. Others say that I belong to Apollos. Others will follow Cephas. Or others may even say that I follow Christ. Paul asked them, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Paul wanted to tell them that among the brethren in the church, there must be no divisions among themselves. Verse 10, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be united in the same mind and the same judgment. This is what we must be able to do. There cannot be divisions in the church of God. All of us belongs to Christ. The workers of God, they are only doing this work or appointed to do this work of the Lord God. So we must not have any divisions among ourselves. He also tells us that Paul encouraged his companions to solve this problem. When they see that there is a problem in the church, they must quickly go and solve this problem. Because a kingdom divided in itself will not be able to stand. In Acts chapter 6, it tells us that at that time in the church in Jerusalem, there were also a certain disagreement among the people. Those who are the Hellenists are there arose against the Hebrews because they felt that the widows were neglected in their daily distribution. Whether this conflict is perceived or whether it is real, it does not matter. But when there is a conflict, there will be disharmony in the church. When this problem continues, it may cause division in the church. But the apostles have quickly solved this problem, or they appointed more people to take care of this daily distribution. And when this problem is solved, verse 7 tells us, the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So here it tells us, when an issue or problem is solved, the word of the Lord God continues to grow. This is what we must be able to do. But when Paul talks about helping the woman, these are general women in Philippines. Then we can understand that Paul wanted his companions to help this woman so that they are able to continue to serve the Lord. When Paul brought this gospel to Philippines, he first preached to the woman. So if we see Acts chapter 16, verse 13, it tells us he went outside to the gate at the riverside where we suppose there was a place of prayer, and we sat there and spoke to the woman who were gathered there. He first spoke to this woman. That's why the first believer is Lydia and her family. And from then on, they became fellow laborers together with Paul. There are many women who serve in divine service. In Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, verse 55 and 56, here it tells us, there were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them is Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Here in name of some of these women who are ministering with our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17. Verse 12 says, many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. When Paul preached to Berea, it also mentioned of this women of high standing in the society. These are the women who have contributed much to the divine work. They are able to continue to contribute more towards the divine work. They are the women who are able to bring benefit to the divine work. But women in the Eastern society, their services are not well emphasized. That's why we find many of our sisters not been able to find an area of service. We do understand the teachings in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12 concerning women not exercising authority over men. But the Lord God have also given gifts to the sisters. And when the Lord God gave gifts to them, God has a purpose that these gifts to be used accordingly. There is an intention of the Lord God for their service in His kingdom. We must be able to help them, to put them into this area of service that the Lord God has intended for them. This is how we are able to help the woman in our midst, to help them in this divine service. We go on to the next category of people. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul talked about Clement and other fellow laborers. Clement's name is mentioned here, but the other fellow's laborers' name were not mentioned. But Clement's name was not mentioned in other part of the Bible again. It is here that Paul chose to mention Clement's name, probably as a representation of all those co-workers who were partners with him in the missionary work, but yet they have remained quietly in their service. Paul regarded many of these people as his co-workers. This category of people can also represent those among us, those who are quiet in their service, but they are faithful in their service to the Lord God, and their work are not forgotten. The Bible records of many of such quiet characters who serve the Lord God. In Genesis chapter 5, from verse 21 onwards. It talks about a person by the name of Enoch. The Bible did not talk about great work that he has done. He is not like a person like Noah or Moses. But here it says, Enoch walked with God. And he was not, but God took him. We only know that Enoch walked with God. What great work he did, we are not sure. But his life is pleasing to the Lord God. That's why in the end, he was taken up by the Lord God. We talk about another incident in John chapter 9. John chapter 19. Here it tells us of a person by the name of Joseph. John chapter 19 verses 38 to 41. Here it mentions of a person by the name of Joseph Arimathea. He was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Now, this person, after the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the people and many of his disciples do not dare to acknowledge him anymore, but this person went to Pilate and asked for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he buried him in his own tomb, the tomb that he has not used. This Joseph of Arimathea, though not much is mentioned about him, but at this appointed time, he is able to stand up to ask for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ to be buried. Oh, these are the people. They have the heart with the Lord God. But in verse 38, it tells us that they are the disciples of Jesus secretly for fear of the Jews. These people whose heart is with our Lord Jesus Christ, but because the situation is not convenient, they are not able to openly follow Jesus. They are not able to actively serve the Lord. But at this moment of time, when there is a need, they are able to stand up to do the service for the Lord. In our church in China, during the Cultural Revolution, many of our elders, as well as faithful brothers and sisters, they went underground. They cannot worship openly, so they worship secretly. They continue to keep the faith. They continue to pass on this faith to their children and to those who are close to them. Until late 1970s, when there is greater freedom, this group of secret believers, they came out and they established contact with one another. They begin to organize themselves to have public worship. They continue or they begin to print articles of faith to be distributed among the people. But the Lord God looked at these people's heart. Although at this inconvenient time, they are not able to openly declare Christ, but in their heart, they are secretly worshipping the Lord God. And at the appropriate time, the Lord God will use them for the work of His kingdom again. We thank the grace of the Lord God. So today, some of us may be this category of people. People who secretly worship the Lord because of the inconvenient environment or situation that we are in. The Lord God did not forget them. He acknowledged the faith in our heart. And their names are written in the book of life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 58. Here it tells us, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us continue on to be steadfast in our faith. Continue to be laborers of the Lord. The Lord God acknowledge our work. And He will reward us accordingly. O great Lord Jesus Christ. We will now sing another hymn. We sing hymn 126. Jesus Christ for His guidance in our service today. We continue to pray to the Lord God to guide us. We know that now we are able to return to the chapel for services also brothers and sisters who are able to or can are encouraged to example in the chapel. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we do that. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. His grace aboundeth more. His grace aboundeth more. Though sins aboundeth in my heart, His grace aboundeth more. His grace aboundeth more. His grace aboundeth more, though sins aboundeth in my heart. His grace aboundeth more. Amen. Our service ends here. All glory to our Lord Jesus Christ.